The following is a presentation of Remnant. Light of the
world. Hey, this is Jeremiah from Remnant Church. Thanks for listening to us online. You know, we want you to be encouraged and filled with hope through your experience as you listen in. This life can be complicated, even confusing, but it's our hope that you catch a glimpse of God's unconditional love for you and His purpose for your life. Thanks for listening in.
Welcome, good morning, as we continue this topic on heroes. There's been a lot of good messages on these heroes. And on the timeline, if we have that slide, I don't know if we have that chronological timeline up there. I'm calling this one the hero inside, and we'll get into that a little bit on why I'm calling it the hero inside. And there it is. I like all these Old Testament books. A lot of us don't like reading them. A lot of us think they don't apply. But as some pastors say, when you read some of these books, it's like chewing rubber. Doesn't taste good. The book I'm going with is with one of the old minor prophets, and his name is Hosea. Hosea was a minor prophet. The major prophets were five of them, which was Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, and Daniel. Those were the first five major prophets. The minor prophets are from Hosea all the way to Malachi, just before Matthew. Why do they call the first five major prophets? Because they were bigger books. They wrote more books. They were major. The minor prophets are smaller books. Some are as close or as lengthy as the major prophets, but they're called minor because they're smaller books. The book of Hosea is kind of short for me and small as well. And it's all divine and it's all God's word. And we need to learn from that this morning, as Hosea was a hero, a mighty man used by God. The book of Hosea talks a lot through all the chapters on God's judgment. God's judgment has been coming on all humanity since sin came in. And God has used people over and over and over and over again to speak to His people through whoever wants to get up here or stand up for God and preach His word and live for Him. God has used many instruments, men and women, through all life that has been known up till right now, this date today. God has been speaking and speaking and speaking to His people, because we are a people that always tend to turn back. We are a people that always want to wander back into Egypt, into our old lifestyles. And that's what Hosea was doing here at the time of Israel. Hosea preached around 400 to 500 years between, right around there before Christ was born. He was right in there at 405 BC roughly. He might have preached anywhere. Some scholars say 60 years. I read some 10, 15 years. Anyways, God was raised a Christian man, and he was brought up with godly parents. So when he grew up, God called him, and all he would preach was judgment, judgment, judgment. As we say, thus says the Lord, God says, God says, God says. That was a lot of words, huh? There's still more to come. And then Hosea is a great book, because right in the middle of all this book of judgment that God used Hosea to speak through, there's a small little love story. Hosea was a man as well, just like most of us men in this room. And he wanted a wife, and God told him to marry. We're not going to be too happy with who he had to marry. You'll be surprised who he told Mary. But God used him anyways. And he used it as an illustration of God's people, how we can live and believe in God. So Hosea to me was a hero inside. There's a hero inside of us that wants to flourish and live for the Lord. I want to talk about a little intro about an elderly couple. I love talking about elderly couples because they're great little stories. And trust me, it's not a true story. And it goes like this. There's this elderly couple that love the Lord. So his husband decided to take his wife to Israel. And he takes her, and they're up there for a couple of weeks. They're seeing the sights of Israel, where Jesus walked, the tomb, and so forth, where everyone goes nowadays to visit the Holy Land. And while there, his wife dies. She passes because they're old. And the old man does not know what to do. So the group they went with, the leader of the camp, tells the gentleman, look, your wife is passed, and what a beautiful place to bury her. We can bury her here in Israel, right in the area of the tomb of Christ. and we're only going to charge you $150. It's going to cost you $5,000 just to take her back to the United States. That's not including the burial and the rest of the tab they're going to charge you for. The elderly man thinks a bit, scratches his chin. He goes, well, you know what? I want to take her back. And the gentleman goes, you don't understand. This is holy ground. We can have a beautiful service. We're all here. We'll bury her here. And the gentleman goes, no, I want to take her back. He goes, look, $150 versus $5,000 just to take her back. Do the math, sir. And the elderly man goes, no, you know what? I'm going to take her back. And he goes, sir, I insist. Why? Can I know why? He goes, well, it goes like this. I heard about a man that was buried here, and in 3 days he rose again. I can't take my chances. I got to take her back. The hero inside. He wasn't a good hero inside, was he? If I could bring my wife back and the Lord would bring her back, I'd love to have her back. But she's with the Lord, and praise God. Our loved ones have passed. And if they know Jesus, they're in a better place. Amen? I'm going to read out of Hosea. Chapter 2, verse 19 and 20. Hosea chapter 2, verse 19 and 20 goes like this. I will make you my wife forever, showing you righteousness and justice, unfailing love and compassion. Verse 20. I will be faithful to you and make you mine, and you will finally know me as the Lord. A lot of these scriptures, I pulled them out of the NLT, New Living Translation. A friend of mine in this congregation now reads out of that, or a Bible study, and I like how it reads. NLT is a pretty good at scripture as well. A lot of us use different texts. Some of us speak to us different ways. I like the NIV, and now I'm liking the NLT. It reads well, and it speaks to my heart. And why did I use that verse? There it is, because this is God's love showed to people through prophets and speakers and preachers. Amen? And you see, can you imagine God telling you, go marry a thief? A murderer, a psycho. Well, my wife married me, so it was not much difference there. I was pretty psycho myself. I guess the Lord told my wife, you got to marry that nut right there. One day I'll change him, but right now you got to put up with him. Can you imagine what Hosea must have thought? What? You want me to go marry Gomer? And the Bible says Gomer was a prostitute. God will call us to do some very radical, not comfortable, not nice things. He'll call you and tell you, go do this. You're like, I'll wait. Somebody else will do it. No. If you know divinely in your heart, it's God speaking to you, do it. Sometimes it's not going to make sense, folks. Again, I sound like a broken record. It didn't make sense to me when the Lord moved me to this church. It wasn't a pretty thing, but I've been so blessed. God had other plans. That other church is blessed beyond measure as well, and we're blessed too. I'm blessed because I got to meet all of you. I would have never have met all of you. That was God's plan. I'd have never met none of you. That's why I try to shake everyone's hand. And if I didn't shake your hand this morning, I'm shaking your hand right now, okay? I hope this counts. We can't get to everybody, and we're a small church. We don't run out of big church, but we try as pastors to greet all of you. And for, personally, I don't speak for Jerry and Jeremiah. I forget names. Please forgive me. So I'll throw a big smile and say, good morning, God bless. I'm glad you're here. Please forgive me. But you are in my prayers, because I pray for the whole congregation daily. Some of you not by name because I don't know your name, but I'm praying that names stick more. But God bless you for being here. And I'm so grateful to have met you and known you to come here. And God drew me here. I know he brought me to Remnant. Why? To preach Jesus. He knows I'm bold and unashamed. He knows I'll say whatever comes to mind. I want to be like Hosea. He's called me to do some radical, crazy things that didn't make sense, but yet I just followed through. And you'll know when it's not of the Lord, because there'll be a stop, a turn. Someone will confirm it to turn the other way, turn this way. God will start putting people in your lives, and he'll direct you. But Hosea was clearly spoken to, and he had to go marry this prostitute. You know what's funny? If you read the very first chapter of Hosea, God says, go marry this prostitute. He didn't even question it. He just obeyed. Do we have that kind of heart? Are we quick to obey, or are we just going to think about it, contemplate it, or what's in it for me? Hosea didn't think that way. He had a heart for God. He was trained up in the things of the Lord, and he went for it. He said, okay, Lord, you want me to marry this prostitute? I will. You see, a hero is not always about physical brute strength. A hero is not always about being courageous. A hero is not always about, look at what I can do. See, those are valuable traits in a hero, but they're not all 100%. A real hero has a forgiving, obedient heart and faithful to God. Oh, a lot of people say, you know, Frank, I'm pretty obedient. I've been faithful. I've been submitting. I got those three you just mentioned. Well, I'm going to touch on one that all this room in here right now, for me to Randy back there and back, and all of you, we all fail here miserably at times, some more than others. And this is an area where the heroes of God need to step up and work on. Oh, what is that you ask? I heard you. You say, well, you think you are, man. See, throw it at me. Pitch me a curve. I'll hit it. Okay, here we go. Can you love the unlovable? Oh, it's hard to love those that don't want to be loved, huh? We all have that family relative no one likes. Or we all talk about it at times. Let's not do, there are rhetorical questions here, please. But if you want to be confessional, that's fine with me. It's hard to love those that don't want to be loved. It's hard to love those people that just are hateful and mean. A real hero can love those people. A real hero can stand in the same room with that type of people. And you know why? Because Jesus could. Jesus said we were going to do greater things than he said. In other words, we can be in that same room with those people that quite don't like us. Or you know that person's not very nice. We can. I don't know if I said it last time I preached, but I'm going to touch on a little bit of what Jerry says. God will put people in your lives. I've been at this company almost four years now, and I answer all the phone calls, and I've been hearing this lady from another company, very bitter, very angry. Man, speak to Maria. Man, and I always say, good morning, man. I'm Maria. As nice as it can be on the phone. And for years, hello, good morning, may I help you? Da, da, da. Where's Maria? Give me the office, lady. Give me this. I mean, bitter, angry. I could hear it in her voice. This went on for years. So the other day, I'm in a hurry to the men's Bible study. I'm getting late. I text one of the guys. I'm going to be late. Here I go on a late delivery. Sometimes I take the chemicals myself. I get to this facility. No one's there. No one goes over there. No one knew where it went. So I ended up back in the front of the office. And that lady walks out. I didn't know it was her. I'm going to keep everyone anonymous here so we can protect the innocent. She walks out and I run into her. I go, where does this go? She goes, come here. She goes over here. Ah. I know who she is. And I was frustrated. I was tired. I wanted to get out of there. And God spoke to me. God said, Frank, I brought you here late to speak to this woman. I'm like, no way, God, not her. I've been dealing with her for years on the phone. No. You want to be like Hosea? You've been studying Hosea. You want to be like Hosea, huh? Want to love the unlovable like Jesus did? You want to be like me? You want to shine for my glory? Talk to her. Oh, where does this go? Follow me. She takes me to this area, put it right there. The pickup I took, the tailgate didn't open, and I had 16 boxes to unload, 40 pounders. So I'm going over the top, putting them down, and I work fast, and this is my problem. I walk fast, I move fast, I hit the drums hard, call it what you want it, but it's all the Holy Spirit. That's why I pace a lot. I'm very energetic, and I'm doing this, and she goes, wow. She's looking the notes and keeping count. She goes, you move pretty quick for a young man. And I look, I go, I'm not as young as you think I am. Well, how old are you? Okay, I'll be 51. And her face just stopped. She goes, wow, you can do a lot of old men your age can't do and move that quick. A lot of them are sick and dying. She went on and on. I go, it's funny you mentioned sick. Yeah, I'm grateful to God. He keeps me healthy. He has kept me strong. Talking about diseases, my wife died a couple of years ago of cancer. And when I said that, her whole misdemeanor, she even put the paper down on the box and it changed. She goes, I am so sorry. And I went to minister and minister and tell her my testimony in a nutshell. I mentioned where I preached at. I mentioned Jerry and Jeremiah. When I said Jerry's name, her face even changed more. You know Jerry? God said, I go, yeah, I pastor with him. I'm under him and Jeremiah, really? And I know this guy. I love what he writes. And we're talking and this and that. I go, yeah, we do this at random. And we preach Jesus. And little by little, her misdemeanor is dropping again. And I go, what's wrong? She puts her head down and the tears start coming. She goes, I have drifted away from God. And I needed so bad to hear that. And I need so bad to get back. That was God's divine time. Amen. Give glory to God. Guys, there's a hero in you. But if you don't flourish them out, no one's going to hear about Jesus. Jerry said it this morning. We sing about it. There's people that are hurting. You know what's funny? She called yesterday at work. I've been so busy at work. She called on a Saturday. She don't normally work on Saturdays. Something had to get done. Her voice sounded different. I go, good morning, Crawl Productions. It's Frank. She goes, Frank, good morning. This is so-and-so. Is so-and-so there? Whoa, almost fell back on my chair. I was like, praise God. They're doing miracles. That was a miracle. Her whole voice hung up and she talked to you. And I ran over there and I told the person at the other desk, how does she sound? They're like, huh? It was so-and-so. You know how she sounds. No, but really, was there a difference? She goes, you know what? It was a little difference. See, she needed to hear from God. You got to show that love. Even when you're in a hurry in your own little world, you need to get somewhere. You think you need to be there. Let God move first. Do what you got to go do. And then you'll see God move. And he'll give you time. And I still made it on time to the Bible study. Amen. Did I make it on time? I was there on time. I don't even remember anymore. So can you love the unlovable? Look what it says in Matthew 5:44. Jesus is not asking, he's telling us. Look what it says. Well, I'll read it there. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who insult you and persecute you. But I say to you, is he saying, come on, guys, please give it a try. It might work. He's commanding us. Many Christians for many years have struggled in this area. You want to be a hero inside for Christ? Practice that inside of you the next time you're confronted. Guys walk in my office all the time, Frank, oh, this driver, I want to tell him this. And I go, see it as an opportunity. We see it so negatively and we want to fight and fire back. A real hero is going to stop and say, this is my opportunity to shine for Jesus. I'm going to do the positive thing instead of the negative thing. See, if you respond positively, positive things come back. If you respond negatively, guess what you're going to get? That's right. More fire in the wood. More wood in the fire. Put it, make it bigger. I'll tell her back. I'm not going to let him talk to me like that. That's negative. And we wonder why we're always fighting and bickering and divisions and splits. And relationships are struggling. My friends, the young people today are struggling so much. You don't have to tell me. I just know. Because it's right here. You chose that people to be with. God gave you that family you're with. Make the best of it. What if you had a big fight with your family that day and you died and you faced God at that moment? With that anger, that bitter you have towards someone. God doesn't want that. He wants us to love the unlovable. So why do you think God would instruct Hosea to marry this unfaithful woman? Hosea 1:2, it's right there. Hosea 1:2, chapter 1, verse 2. When the Lord first began speaking to Israel through Hosea, he said to him, go and marry a prostitute so that some of her children will be conceived in prostitution. This will illustrate how Israel has acted like a prostitute by turning against the Lord and worshiping other gods. Prostitute is a strong word. So bless you. I will say this in the Hebrew or Greek correction. Well, it is Hebrew. It's in the Old Testament. It's pronounced zana. I didn't put it up there, but it's pronounced zana. ZA/NAW. And it literally means unfaithful or idolatry. So God is telling us that go marry a woman that's not going to be faithful to you. Go marry that man that's going to be always give you a hard time. Go marry that wife that's always going to be bickering at you. My wife was pretty honorary. Bless her heart. She kept me on my toes, man. There's people in this room that say, yeah, she was pretty in your face. Like, yeah, pretty much. But it was for my learning. It was for my growth to teach me how to be a real man of God, a real husband, a real friend, a real supporter. No matter how hard she was on me. But in turn, she was being worked on as well. And as the years went by, my wife humbled and said, you know what, honey, I'm giving you the reins. Oh, thank God after 12 years. But she got it. I just served. Sometimes I didn't want to serve her. And that's how we learn in your relationships. But if you retaliate, if you think quickly to want to retaliate, you'll be stuck. Your relationship will suffer. You got to do what Hosea did. He just went and married this unfaithful woman. And not only does it mean faith, unfaithful means idolatry. You know what idolatry means for us today? Other things that we put first. Oh, I gotta go watch my novella. I'm gonna miss it. The soap opera, I can't miss it. I have to go work out. I have to go whatever. No, you don't. I do some of those things, then I have to sacrifice time because I want to serve God first. When I went to that late delivery and I barely made it to the Bible study on time, I weightlifted that night when I had my time to make it. I sacrificed. Are you willing to sacrifice things out of your life, idols that are holding you back from doing what God will want you to do? Being obedient to Him. And yeah, it gets tiring sometimes. Yeah, and it gets frustrating sometimes. I get it too. I'm human just like you. And I struggle with it too. But I will always work on putting Jesus first. I didn't have much time to do this study. Jeremiah left, text me at the last minute. Jerry spoke last week. When I speak on Sundays that night, I'm already preparing something for 2 weeks later. And praise God, I had something lined up. Well, God had something lined up, which was Hosea. So you gotta be ready. Are you folks ready? We need to be like Hosea. God shows us through this unfaithful wife how we can be. Look at Hosea chapter 2 verse 5. Their mother is a shameless prostitute and became pregnant in the shameful way. She said, I will run after other lovers. I will sell myself to them for food, water, clothing, wool, linen, and for olive oil and drinks. This woman was just letting it all out. She'll take whatever she can. It's right there. Oh, I have to be eating. No, you don't. You'll live. You can go for a whole day without eating. You might be a little weak. Drink water. Drinking. Alcohol. Don't get drunk. Maybe some of you do drink, but God will tell you, be careful. It stings like a snipe, like a serpent. If you have an issue with what I'm saying on drinking and what you do with your body, come see me. And we'll talk about it scripturally. I was a drunkard. I was a womanizer. And God had to pull me. Then He gave me this honorary wife. But you're going from level to level. Some of you are still over here. Get going. Jerry said it last week. Get going. Get off the potty. Get going. Be Hosea's. It's tough. It's very tough to do those things God has called us to do. And it even says we're quick to turn and we love it. Look what it says in Jeremiah 14:10. Jeremiah 14:10 says this. This is what the Lord says about this people. They greatly love to wander. They do not restrain their feet. Look at that. They greatly love to wander. God is telling us we love to go do those old things that we shouldn't be doing. And folks, I'll tell you this. He'll always let you. He'll let you go do those little things you shouldn't be doing. Those little words you shouldn't be using. Those things you're drinking, consuming. He'll let you. Because He's a good God. But He'll come back and deal with you on that. Through other people. Through messages. Through circumstances. He'll deal with it. One time or another, it will come to float. I have a lot of repercussions I've been paying for in my life. And when they come, I accept them. Because I know what I've done. I'm not happy about it sometimes. But I get on my knees and cry, oh God, I am so sorry, Lord. I did that. I remember. Forgive me, Father. I don't get up and say, you know what? Forget this, man. I don't need this. No, I'm not going to. No, I'm going to do it this way because I know I'm right. That's where you fall short. You won't be a hero inside. You're being fleshly and you're being external. Let the Holy Spirit inside of you. Let the internal flourish and work in you. Jeremiah says wonder. The word wonder there in Hebrew is nuach, N-O-O/A-H. I'm telling you because I didn't put them up on the PowerPoint. Nuach, N-O-O/A-H. You know what this means? To totter or stragger like a drunk. I love to go over there the back way, man. Let's go back to Egypt. I like drinking. I like my dancing. I like those movies I always watch, those scary movies. Let's go. Yeah, let's go do that. Have you seen a drunk? A lot of us have seen a drunk. And I've been drunk. And it's not good. You're all like this. You don't even. I was at work yesterday, leaving work. The guys are. The boss was gone, so they watch stuff on YouTube. They're always messing around. So, Frank, come watch this. There's a they video. It's in Mexico. It's called El Borrachito or something, the drunk. It's on YouTube. He walks into a liquor store over there, and he's like this. He's falling. He goes to the beer. He grabs his 18-pack, and he's falling all over the place, but he never lets go of the beer. He fell like 5 times. He couldn't set up. Finally, they let him put the beer down. They helped him up. You can see in the video, they help him. I don't know if they call it cops, but he was so bleriated, man, and still went to go get more beer. A lot of Christians today are drunk. And when you're drunk, you're not all there. You're not all coherent. You don't see things clearly. In the spiritual realm, Christians can get that way. We're drunk in the flesh. We're drunk in the things we like to do, so you're going to stagger. You're going to fall. That's why Christians keep falling. Because they're wandering. And God says we love to do it. I'm not going to glorify what I'm going to say, and I'm not proud of it. But I love getting high and drinking and partying. I loved it. I used to say, oh, I love this. Some of you remember, oh, it's cold. Get me some more. Let's go get more cold ones. I remember. But it wasn't a good thing. So I thought it was a good thing because everyone was doing it. Let's go smoke some more. Roll it up, dude. Not proud of it. It just led me to debauchery, to evil, dark things. Put my wife through hell. My little girls were growing up seeing all this. This evil, dark man. But they got to see this man grow in Christ. And God let them see the power we can do in lives. And the hero that comes out from within. It's all in us. There's no excuse, folks. There's no excuse for none of you or myself. The hero is in you. But you got to let him flourish. You got to practice. I'm going to sound like a broken record again. It's like weightlifting. It's got to burn. There's a guy also that runs the scale, young, tall kid. He goes, God, Frank, I want to look like you. He's kind of heavy and chunky. And he tries. And he uses these 5-pound weights. Frank, I'm working out. I'm doing this. But I don't feel no burn. I go, dude, get some heavier weights. Make it, you know, burn. I don't like those. Then he says, and when I'm done, I get hungry. So I stuff myself with bean burritos. He's from Mexicali. So he's always eating burritos. Poor guy. He has to sacrifice those burritos, get some heavier weights, and let it hurt and burn. Our spiritual life is the same. It's going to hurt. It's going to burn. It's going to hurt when you got to stop doing the things you like. Folks, I like drumming. I love drumming. If you go to my house, there's a drum set right there in my living room, and there's cases everywhere. Tell me how much I practice. Tell me how much time I have to sit back there and play. You want to know? 5 minutes. Tops 10 when it's a good day. But you know why I don't have time? Because I'm doing ministry for God. And it's okay, I'm good with it because I want to be like Hosea. I want to minister to people. And is it easy? No. Oh, gosh, I got so-and-so coming. I got to get ready. I won't even work out. And I sit there on my table and wait for you all. Or go where I need to go to meet someone. And it's okay. Because he gives me my Friday and Saturday sometimes. And I get my little downtime. Frank time. And I love it. But we need to stay busy in the things of God so that hero inside starts getting stronger. But if you're always pleasing self and hating on people and not learning how to love those that can't be loved, you're going to struggle. You'll always be stuck. So how do we get there? How do we get there? How do we get into that hero that's inside? How did Hosea become a hero for God? How was he able to marry this prostitute and always preach judgment on people? Again, as I point, I look at the clock, and I got like 10 minutes to hammer 3 points out. So here we go, like last time. How? First of all, a hero inside must be disciplined. Discipline. Oh, man, discipline. We don't like that word, huh? Because that means a lot of work, burn, hurt, pain, sacrifice. We don't like discipline. Young kids, where are you, young kids? How many of you like to get spanked? Oh, no. When my parents spanked me, they used to spank me so much, I used to get saliva and put them, okay, it's hurting. They would stop. Oh, he's really hurting. I'll get the tears. It was just putting saliva all over my face. I didn't like discipline. I didn't like to be told what to do, but it takes discipline. Many people are bitter and hurting like this woman I ran into. She didn't want to discipline her life and moved away from God. And she was bitter and hurting and angry at what? I don't know. She don't even know. She just knows. She said, I've drifted from God, Frank, and I need to get back with God. And I said, yes, you do, ma'am. And I didn't finish my story as I spoke to her. We were there 20 minutes and we were right in the pathway of a truck for forklifts to go by. There was a forklift driver with his mouth job like this. And the truck driver, they were listening in. They didn't honk, get out of the way. They sat there and listened to the ministry that was taking place. Who knows, God might have been speaking to them as well. See what God does? And I didn't want to go to that late delivery. I wanted to get to my Bible study holier than thou. God had other plans. So you got to be disciplined. Hosea was obedient to God. He didn't even question God. Obedient is better. Obedience is always going to be better. Look what it says in 1 Samuel 15:22. But Samuel replied, doesn't the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifice as much as obeying the Lord? To obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed is better than the fat of rams. You know what that means? It's better to deal with that person and help them as best as you can and think about yourself later. Jesus always was people-minded. Jesus was always caring-minded. Jesus was always kingdom-minded. What does my Heavenly Father want me to do here? I'll eat later. I'll work later. I'll do this later if it's right now for you, God. It takes that discipline. You need disciplined heart. Your heart needs to be broken and softened. Some of us, our hearts get hard like a rock. And God said, I will smash it if I have to because I love you this much and it's going to hurt you. But I'm going to smash that wooden brick hard heart and soften it with my love. That's how God does it. And you can be as hard as you want. You can stand there and be as bitter and proudful as you want to. But God will deal with you on your time. I will just pray for you. And I tell people, pray for them. Don't snap back. Have a disciplined heart. Stand like I said the last time I preached and know that he is God. See, it took me like 12 years before my wife realized, well, I was the husband, the leader of the house. It took her 12 years. But I stood there and took it. So the Lord showed her. Yeah, there was a lot of moments I wanted to give up. Yeah, in my young Christian life, I told you I left her because of my pride. Because I thought I was a preacher and I knew it all. And God dealt with me and brought me right back home 8 months later. And 16, 12 years later, she finally humbled and said, okay, honey, you got the reins. Now I get it. God is dealing with me. That's how he works. You need to be disciplined. It's going to be worth it. A hero's heart must be maintained to have that disciplined heart, which is loyalty. Are you loyal? Are you a loyal person inside? Are you loyal to your partner? Are you loyal to your job? Are you loyal to your relationships? Loyalty is key in discipline. Those go together. You need to be loyal all the time. Loyalty is important. There's a difference between a person that's spiritual and a person that's not so spiritual. Because what is the difference? A person that's spiritual is being loyal and disciplined and sacrificing things. Those that aren't growing spiritually, they don't want to humble. They don't want to be disciplined. They want to do it their own way. So that's why most people get stuck and don't grow spiritually because their heart wants to be softened. And you're not letting God discipline your heart. That making sense? You still love me because I love you. And God loves you more. Secondly, we must be a hero inside, must be dependable. Are you dependable? Husbands, how many of times you went to the store for your wife and you made a list and you forgot one thing, you get back and guess what? Hammer time, man. You slept on the couch. They chewed you out. At least you tried. Rhetorical questions, please. God does that. And let the wife just deal with you and just tell her, honey, you know, I forgot. I'm sorry. And move forward. This is for our growing. It's for our learning. So next time you don't forget, you pay a little bit more attention. Because sometimes, man, we are thinking of other things. We are thinking of other things. And not just for men, women too. You guys do it too. You'll forget and there's a big fight and there it goes. Be lenient to her and say, okay, honey, I understand you forgot. Cool. All right. Just move on. Be dependable. You must be dependable. To be dependable means you can be trusted. I broke my trust with my wife as a baby Christian. And again, it took those 12 years, maybe 15, maybe just before she got cancer, well, for her to trust me. I broke her trust as a godly man. I broke her heart. And it took years of just showing her how much I love, not just with words. I showed her how much I loved her with my actions. I did anything and as much as I could for her. At every time I could, any chance I saw an opportunity, I threw myself at her feet just to show her my love. I didn't want just words. I didn't always buy her flowers. I showed her with my actions. Jesus came down with actions and died on the cross. That's real love. And he sacrificed it all for us. We need to be the same kind of people. Dependable and giving it all, throwing it all on the red carpet. For people, for your loved ones, for your wife, for your husband, for that person that can't be loved, you need to be dependable. God's word will never let you down. He took her and he made Hosea take Gomer back. He was reliable. Look what it says in Proverbs 13:17. An unreliable messenger stumbles into trouble, but a reliable messenger brings healing. See, you wonder why you're struggling. You're not being reliable. You're not being dependable. And then sometimes, folks, you try to make up a story to cover it up or make it sound good or fix it or put a Band-Aid. It ain't going to be fixed if you ain't being honest or truthful about it. It's going to be found out. You need to be dependable. You need to be trusted. Be transparent with each other. Don't hide anything. God wants you to be transparent. God's word will never let you down. Look what it says in Psalms 19:17. The instructions of the Lord are perfect. The instructions of the Lord are perfect. Reviving what? The soul, the person inside, that hero inside. It revives you. Frank, you're so energetic. You're always smiling. Well, guess what? I'm always feeding on his word. I'm always seeking how I can serve and help. Do I get tired and frustrated? I said it earlier. Yes, I do. But I gotta keep going. It's my obligation now as a minister, as a follower of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we're, as pastors, are trying to amplify that and example it to you all. And wherever we're faltering, wherever we're falling short, please, we stand to be corrected. And I'll speak for Jerry and Jeremiah. They'll deal with me later on that one. Correct us, man. Confront us. We're men. Pull us aside or text us. Hey, this didn't quite jive, man. What do you mean by this? And we'll answer you. At least I know I will. And I'll say, oops, sorry, bro. I was wrong right there. Forgive me. Pray for me. Let's find the right text on that one. Amen? Dependable. God's word is perfect. Then it goes on to say, the decrees of the Lord are trustworthy, making the wise simple. Making the wise simple. I'm going to say this, and there's a person in this room that doesn't like it that I say this, but I'm going to say this. I never studied all my life. A drug addict, a drunk, left high school in 10th grade, and I went through this life of partying and drinking, never read, never studied, didn't believe in God, and did all my own things till I was 36. I'm 51 now, and God has given me so much wisdom because of his word and following it and obeying it and trusting it and going through trials and tribulations and afflictions and battles. This is what you see. A passion, wisdom. He starts giving you wisdom. He has placed me in this position where I'm at. I'm a boss and I don't consider myself a manager, a boss, but people see me that way because they see Christ. I'm putting Christ first. And they'll come to me with questions that I never thought I could answer to these people, these farmers, these customers we have. And God is letting me flow simply because I'm serving him and obeying him to the best that I can. Am I perfect? No, and neither are you, but you can do it. If you apply it, if you start being dependable on his word and trusting him, he will make you wise. I can't stop reading. I can't stop studying. I love studying Greek, Hebrew, looking for text. He just makes you smarter. He has put brain cells back in this brain because all the drugs I consumed, I fried my brain. Does my brain sound fried? I might look fried, but the passion flows, man. His spirit just grabs you. Oh, man, I can't even contain myself. And it's in you. That's the hero inside of you. You know what his name is? Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit wants to reside in us and move in us. And he'll make you disciplined, dependable. And the third point, and he'll make you a hero inside. What is it? Devoted. I am so devoted to Remnant, to some of you that I meet with. I eagerly await when we're going to meet. I'm studied up and prayed up. And it's okay, sometimes I can't make it or you can't make it. There's other days, there'll always be other days. But the point is, you need to be devoted. Hosea was devoted to loving his unfaithful wife at all costs. His life was devoted to her and to God. And the only way you'll live a hero inside with a real devoted heart, you know what it is? I'll tell you what it is. A repentant life. Do you live a repentant life? We need to live in repentance because we'll blow it. The minute we wake up, we start blowing it. Our day goes through, the week goes through, we'll blow it. And are you repenting of it? A real soft hero's heart is repentive. Because Christians today are getting too lax and soft, almost like calluses on our hand. We don't feel it. We don't. It's okay, they're gay. It's okay, they're doing dope. Oh, it's okay, they don't need our help. We start getting just immune to it. You need to be woken up and alive in the Holy Spirit and let it convict you. Let it move you to be devoted to Him. See, God's terms of the covenant are clear. Repent means basically turn back. Turn from that old way that you used to live. And I'll turn this. Well, a lot of Christians are living like this. Look, oh, I miss it, man. I loved it. Yeah, I want to be that way. You got to look forward for Jesus now. Remember Lot's wife? Yeah. All God says was don't look back. Just leave the city. Here it goes. Here she goes. Oh, one last look. Pillar of salt. We'll turn to a pillar of salt, folks. Let the past be in the past. When we bring it up, there's going to be some issues. See what happens when she stops? She's stuck. You're stuck. You turn into this pillar of salt. How many of you like getting salt? Just like a soda. Tasty, huh? No. That's how it is. You're stuck and it stinks and it's bitter and it tastes awful in your mouth because you're stuck. You're looking back. You're fighting about the past. That's not a repentant life. Repentance means you were living this way, full 180. Now I'm living for, yeah, I know what I did back there. Yeah, I said that. Yeah, I did this. Yeah, he said this. Keep going this towards Jesus. That's a repentant heart. We need to live devoted lives to Jesus Christ. The terms are clear. God says repent. Israel have been backsliding and turned away from God since the beginning of time. Look at Luke 16:13, and I'm almost done. Luke 16:13 says this. No one can serve two masters, for he will hate the one and love the other. You will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Some translations say mammon, and it could be anything else other than God. You're either going to give it all to God or live like this or be like Lot's wife, stuck. You make your choice. He's a good God. As they say in the Spanish, he's a caballero. That means he's a gentleman. He'll let you do however you want to do it, but he's got the best way. Look at Jesus. Keep going forward. I always tell people, Christians don't have reverse. You try to put it in reverse, but you should keep going forward. We make reverse work because we want to go back to that old way and not be repentant of that past life. I'm not proud of what I say about my past life, but I need to testify of it so God gets the glory and the people of God knows what God can do in people's lives. And that you're not alone in those situations. That your marriage battles are, you're not alone. Those relationships, you're not alone. Those indifferences, you're not alone. Those issues you're facing personally in your closet of skeletons, you're not alone. We're in a room full of them. But lead a repentant life. Open that closet. Let Jesus clean out all the skeletons. No, Jesus, close the door. No, don't go in this room. Any room in the house is not this one. I love you. And Jesus, I want to get in that room. Let's get those skeletons out. Give me your yoke. He said, give me your yoke. Mine is easy and light. My burden. You want to carry it? Okay. Go right ahead, but I'm right here. The Holy Spirit never will leave you. He said, I will never leave you. Thank you. We got a scholar up front. He's always there. He's always there. God's love calls Hosea's wife to turn back. And God is calling us to turn back. God wants us to be disciplined, dependable, and devoted. Worship team, come on up, please. We'll close there. I'm going to close with a prayer straight from Scripture. And I'm going to read it from my Bible. Out of the NLT. I think I printed it. This was my first two verses of this chapter were, have been and still are a big part of my life. Hosea chapter 6 verse 1 and 2. Were ingrained in my soul, in my heart forever till I die. Because when I left my wife, just like this story here. The prostitute leaving and coming back, leaving and coming back. God's people leaving and coming back. Christians leaving and coming back. God says he will tear, but he'll sow. He'll break, but he'll mend. But I'm going to read this whole chapter. It's very short. Hosea chapter 6. And it's very impacting. So if you will stand with me if you're able. And you will bow your hearts. And I'm going to read this as a prayer. Listen to the words. And as I'm reading, you can pray your own prayer. But this is my prayer for me, for the church, for remnant, and what God would tell us right now at this divine time of what he wants in our lives. He wants us to come back to be disciplined, dependable, and devoted to him. Amen? Let's pray. Out of Hosea chapter 6, God says, come, let us return to the Lord. He has torn us to pieces. Now he will heal us. He has injured us. Now he will bandage our wounds. In just a short time, he will restore us so that we may live in his presence. Oh, that we might know the Lord. Let us press on to know him. He will respond to us as surely as the arrival of dawn or of the coming of the rains in early spring. Oh, Israel and Judah, what should I do with you, asked the Lord? For your love vanishes like the morning mist and disappears like the dew in the sunlight. I sent my prophets to cut you to pieces, to slaughter you with my words, with judgments, as inescapable as light. I want you to show love, not offer sacrifices. I want you to know me more than I want burnt offerings. But like Adam, you broke my covenant and betrayed my trust. Gilead is a city of sinners, tracked with footprints of blood. Priests form bands of robbers, waiting in ambush for their victims. They murder travelers along the road with Shechem and practice every kind of sin. Yes, I have seen something horrible in Ephraim and Israel. My people are defiled by prostituting themselves with other gods. O Judah, a harvest of punishment is also waiting for you. Though I wanted to restore the fortunes of my people. God, we thank you. We're right here broken, God. We have sinned against you. We fall short daily. Help us, God. We're right here, Lord. We're praying to you. You see the hearts that are speaking to you right now. You know all the hearts in this room that are hurting, that are lost, that need your help, that need guidance, that need brokenness, that need repentance, that need salvation, that need restoration. God, help us. We are weak and needy. We fall short, God. Please help us, Lord. Help us, oh God, move in this place. Restore marriages. Restore lives. Help us to be disciplined. Help us to be dependable. And help us to be devoted to you, my God. We love you and trust you. Help us to be light to all those around us. And most of all, God, help us to love the unlovable. There's a turmoil of hate in this world of darkness, but your light will shine brighter in darkness. We love you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Light of the world. You've been listening to a presentation of Remnants. For more information, visit us at remnantchurchonline.com. You